We'll call this little chat being present. Most people are not aware that they're not present to the fact that they're not present. If somebody is present and meets somebody who isn't present, they feel as though there isn't really a connection. And what happens is something like this. Let's say the average person, and by that I mean 99% of people. This is what happens. When their eyes look at you, a signal goes to the brain, and it looks inside the brain for information about what it's seeing. And if it's somebody that it's seen before, it doesn't really see the person that's in front of them. It goes to the memory of the person. And even although it's nanoseconds to recognize the person, usually the person fills in with something. So in Australia, for instance, you see a person and they say, "Hello, how are you?" But there's nobody there saying, "How are you?" What has happened is the brain's looking for who's out there, goes to the memory of that, and in the meantime, slips in a disc to fill in the time that says, "How are you?" So you see, they're not really there. And if somebody's present, they can see and feel and sense that the person isn't there. And then the person may start to talk, but a person who is present will see that this talk is not coming from them. It's their story, and it's coming from a part of them that stored that story, that delivers it to lots of people in the same way. But they're not present. Present. So what is presence? It's being here now. Now, me talking to you over this recorder and you hearing it. Now, what usually happens is when the brain hears something, ears hear it and it takes it through to different parts, to the language, to the meaning and so on, it connects with the meaning that's been programmed in there, unless you're present. And if you're present, you'll be listening. You'll be present, so present. You'll be sensing, what is this person saying? And yes, you've got your old information and your old knowledge, but there's something else. There's another sense you're picking up, because words cannot say what's there. They're very restrictive. But if you're present, you sense something. And it's a form of empathy. You actually become the person and go beyond their words, and often beyond their meaning into a deeper meaning of them. You connect on a different level. If you live that way, moment to moment, you will live in a different world from everybody around you. Everybody will seem crazy, and I mean that. I mean crazy. Look at the television, look at the news. Go into the shops and listen to them. Sounds, they're blaring out. This is a crazy planet. And if you're not crazy, if you're more present, you'll watch this and see this going on. You'll watch it. You'll be the watcher to it. But here's the thing. You'll also be a watcher to yourself, because one part of you is also crazy. Now, how come it's crazy? Let's talk about that a little bit. Each one of us is unique. And we're in collections. So we have collections of Muslims and collection of Jews and collection of different sorts of Christians and Buddhists and Hindus and so on and so on and so on, and atheists. Collections. Now, on the moment of conception, you're starting to pick up your environment. And as you develop in the womb, you're picking up. You pick up sound, you pick up senses and feelings through the mother. When you come into the planet, when you're born, you need to pick up what's going on in order to survive. So you may come in conscious. You may come in as a sentinel being. But you're in a body and you have to learn how to survive. And to do that, you're watching and listening. And you're learning. You're learning what gets you into trouble. You're learning what gives you praise for you to survive. And you're developing your brain for that. Let's talk about something else. Let's go off on that a little bit. Most people want to be happy, of course. Now, what is happiness? Let me suggest this to you. Happiness is when your inner state is matched by the outer state. That's actually very rare. There's usually a compromise. So your inner state has been developed in a certain way, according to your family and your environment and your country and so on. And your brain is formatted that way. And the brain is most happy when the outside matches the inside. The difficulty is it never does, because we're all unique. And what we're attempting to do all the time is, if the outside doesn't match, we try to change it. And this is what happens in relationships. The inner is trying to change the outer to match the inner so that it can feel comfortable and safe and secure and predictable and happy. And of course, the other person's trying to do that as well, conflict. And if you look, especially now, you look at the news, you look at the games, you look at the films, look everywhere. Conflict, conflict. We're in a stage of conflict. We're trying to match the outside to the inside and it doesn't work. Now, a person with presence is aware of this. And what they're aware of is that their brain is trying to get the outside to match the inside. But with this presence, there's a separate presence that watches. It watches the process and says, oh, now the inside wants this person to be like this. And I can watch that. And I can also watch that that other person is trying to get me to be like they want me to be. And it watches the process. I'll take that a little further. You look at your new car. And it's new. You just bought it. You're very pleased. You're very happy. And something on the inside is very happy about that. Something's been stimulated in there, some chemicals and electricity and so on. If you're involved in the happiness, if you get lost in the happiness, you're eventually going to be unhappy with your car. Something will go wrong or not the way you want or it gets old or something. If you watch your happiness, you'll love your car. You'll always love it. No matter if it breaks down, you'll still love it. You may not be happy with it, but you'll still love it. If you get this knack of watching, because you're not your brain activity. Your brain activity runs on its own. You're the one that can watch that. And if you really do want to be, let's say, fulfilled, in a state of balance, harmony, you'll make this your priority. Every time you look at something, you'll register what goes on. I like it, I don't like it. I'm happy with it, I'm unhappy with it. I want it the way it is, I want to change it. And you'll watch the process, but you won't be caught up in it, you won't be involved in it. And then you'll start to see there's something else. There is what we'll call the body and the senses. The automatic part. And there's another part that can watch that. Once that click happens and you get that you can watch the happy and the unhappy without getting lost in it. You're free. Free. This is what happens to most people that have a near-death experience, because the first part of that is usually they come out of the body. And let's say they're in the operating theatre. They see the body on the operating table. And then there's a realization. I can see what I usually call me, but that isn't me. Because I can see it, and I'm up here. And I can see the things going on there, but I'm not feeling that. I am not identified, caught up with that body anymore. I'm free. I'm free. And then many experiences in that state that shows you, you have something that's you, that your unique self, that is not that body, that is not that mind, that is not that emotions, that are not those words, that are not those actions. It's like a robot, and you begin to watch it. One benefit that comes from this is, as you watch, let's say you get angry. Most people get angry. Some people who've been meditating or looking at how to be different get angry that they get angry, or they judge that they get angry. And again, that's all caught up in it. Instead of, look, anger. Look, judgment. Oh, look, judgment of the judgment. Watching, watching, watching. You're free. Fear disappears. Most people who've had a near-death experience have absolutely no fear. Not only no fear of death, they're looking forward to it. Free. Free. Let's come back. You've heard it before. You, the being I'm talking to now, not the one that's translating it into meaning, not that mind, but there's another part of you that's sensing and hearing. And what you're hearing isn't you. Somewhere you know this, because thou art that. You already know that. You're not that body. You have the body, you're living in the body, but that's not you. There's something else that's you. Something that, I don't use this word very often, divine, wonderful, magnificent. That's you. Every single person has that. Even the serial killer, they're not in touch with it, they're much further away than you are. If you're listening to this, it means you're very close, or you wouldn't be listening. You're close. Sometimes you might even feel it. It might be for a second, suddenly, and for just a second or a few seconds, and then you can't really say what happens, but some people say, I don't know who I am. Or everything goes still. The peace that passeth all understanding. Time no more. No time, no space. Only here. A moment of something that's indescribable. And that's in you. Everybody. Some, it's buried deeper. Some, it's closer to the surface. And as I say, if you're listening to this, listen. It's close to the surface. Now, you might get frustrated and say, I've looked, I've meditated, how come? If you're looking, what you're doing is complaining about where you are. And when this thing happens, it happens when you are with what is just as it is. There. Unconditional. And there it is. And you are one with it. If you're working for that, you're complaining with what is, and what I'm suggesting is the way you are is exactly the way you need to be in this moment. And where you are, and what you're doing, The next moment is different. As soon as you get this moment, unconditionally, the peace and movement, always movement, everything's moving. Now, the movement may not be physical, but there'll be a movement. You'll be aware there's a movement, like often sages say, it's like a river that's continually flowing. If you're trying to wake up, you're swimming upstream. Most people stand still. Just jump in the river and see where it goes. The river of life, the rhythm of this very moment. You're judging, you're judging. You're judging the judging, judging the judging. See, it's very simple, isn't it? But we get impatient and we try to push the river. Being with what is.